This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
Well, before we begin the message this week, just this word, we're beginning a brand new series from the book of Jeremiah in the Old Testament. A series that has to do with God's plan for your life. God's interested in your life, whether you know it or not, maybe more interested in your life than you are, than I am. We begin with the first message that was given actually at Bethany Church in Kettering, Ohio in July. I hope you listen all this week to our new series from the book of Jeremiah. David Sedaris is a man who's on the radio. He's a writer, he's a humorist, he's an essayist, he's a contributor to NPR. I hear him off and on NPR, but he's got a great sense of humor. And he was talking in one of his books recently about why his favorite restaurant is IHOP, International House of Pancakes. How many have been to an IHOP sometime in your life? And a reporter is interviewing him, doing a story on him. He said, David, I noticed that you really talk about IHOP. That's really important to you. Why do you like that restaurant more than any other? And he said, I'll tell you why. When I go to IHOP and I ask for a cup of coffee, they don't just pour me a cup of coffee. They put a cup on the table and a whole pot of coffee. And then they leave me alone. And he said, I love that. They put the coffee cup down and a pot of coffee, a whole pot, and then they leave me alone. And I thought about that over and over, why he said he loved IHOP restaurants, International House of Pancake, for that reason. And then it just dawned on me. I'm always looking for, you know, with a sermonic mind, I said, that's how people are with the Lord God Almighty. They want a God they can interact with occasionally, a God that they can ask for things, and he brings us, figuratively speaking, the pot of coffee, and then he leaves us alone. And in the minds of many men and women and young people, God, just leave me alone. I'm going to talk to you today from the book of Jeremiah in particular, beginning a series, new series for the radio, and it's starting it right here at Bethany Church, from Jeremiah. And I'm going to talk to you today about the God who will not leave you alone. It's from Jeremiah 1, and then I'm going to look at a parallel passage in the book of Ephesians. But Jeremiah 1, beginning at verse 4 through 9, if we can bring that up. The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Isn't that an amazing statement? Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Ah, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am only a child. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am only a child. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, this is interesting, now I have put my words in your mouth. You know, the last time you used that phrase, you were challenging somebody. You say, don't you put words in my mouth. I didn't say that. Didn't you? We all have. And God takes responsibility to Jeremiah and says, I'll put words in your mouth. I'll give you things to say to people. He says it to you today. This passage to me doesn't sound like a God who wants to leave us alone. The God who said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I set you apart. We'll continue this message tomorrow on Cross Hope. That's crosshope.org.
I want to talk to you about the God who not only doesn't want to leave you alone, he wants to work in your life, he wants to work in your family, he wants to work in your job, he wants to work in your life witness to touch other lives. And yes, he says, I'll put words in your mouth. I'll give you things to say at the right time to the right person in the right circumstances. I want to begin by telling you, I've been doing a little reading about camels, not the cigarette, but the animal, camels. Did you ever think about that the oldest serving animal to human beings is the camel? They're ugly. One author said they're the ugliest creatures God ever made. He said they're obnoxious. They're stupid. He went on with all these horrible epithets about the camel, but they can carry 1,000 pounds. A camel can carry 1,000 pounds. They have tremendous strength. They have tremendous endurance. And that's why the oldest animal to serve mankind has been the camel. Listen about what the camels eat. This is funny. Its strong yellow teeth can chew nearly anything. That's kind of encouraging to know that, isn't it? Strong yellow teeth can chew nearly anything. The camel is not particular about its food. It will eat greedily bitter, thorny shrubs. The camel will even eat leather, blankets, bones, or fish, and drink salty water. Nothing seems to give a camel indigestion. I have a cousin like that, but that's another story. Nothing seems to give the camel indigestion. Now, I want to tell you a funny story about a camel. I heard this story 10 years ago from Dr. David Jeremiah, who grew up in Cedarville, by the way. David Jeremiah said there was a camel talking to its mother, a young camel. And he said, "Mom, why is it that my hooves are split?" And she said, "Well, it's so you can stand on the sand as we cross the desert, and you won't sink into the sand. Mom, why do I have these eyelashes on my eyes?" And she said, "Well, it's not only to help keep the sand out of your eye, but also to keep the sun from burning your eyes, to be protection." He said, "Mom, why do I have these pads, these hard-shelled pads on my knees?" And she said, "So that's so you can kneel in the sand, have a load put on you, and stand up as we go across the desert." He says, "Mom, I just have one more question. Why are we in the zoo? Why are we in the zoo? We have all this equipment and all this capacity and capability that God has given us, but we're locked up in a zoo." And he didn't understand that. You know, it's even more of a perplexity to me is God has given you a capacity to be a witness for him. God has given you a capacity to be a representative. He says, "Before you were even born, I knew you. When you were formed in the womb, I knew who you were. I had a plan for you." And he's the God who won't leave you alone. He doesn't plop the pot of coffee on the table in front of you, figuratively speaking, and say, "I'm going to leave you alone for the next 30 minutes. I want to be involved in your life." And Paul comes along in the book of Ephesians and says, "You are God's workmanship." You know what that implies? Design, forethought, planning on what you are to be, how you're to look, what you're to do, how you're to interact with people. And most people don't get that.
Well, we just began a brand new series from the Old Testament book of Jeremiah, the first chapter. The series is called The God with a Plan. We'll continue tomorrow on Cross Hope. That's crosshope.org. God bless you.
I don't know if some of you are familiar with Joseph Bailey. Joseph Bailey was a man who, with his wife, lost 3 sons. They lost a son at 18 days, I think, to heart surgery. They lost a son at 5 to leukemia, and they lost an older teenage son in a sledding accident. 3 times he and his wife stood over the grave of a son. I don't know how they survived it emotionally, but they did. He wrote a book about that experience, but that's not why I'm talking about Joseph Bailey. I want to read a prayer to you that Joseph Bailey wrote that encapsulates to me what it means to be used of God. That here's a man who knows that God has his hand on him, God's using him in spite of everything they've been through, and I want you to listen to see if it speaks to you. "Lord of reality, make me real. Not plastic or synthetic. Lord, help me not to be a phony, an actor playing out a part, a hypocrite. Lord, I don't want to keep a prayer list. I just want to know how to pray. I love that. Lord, I don't want a prayer list. I just want to know how to pray. I don't want to agonize to find your will. I just need to obey you. I don't need to discover what I already know so I can argue the theories of the inspiration of the Bible, but I can submit to your word. I don't want to explain the differences between Greek words for love to people. I want to love people. I want you to teach me how to love people. I don't want to sing as if I mean it. I want to sing because I do mean it. I don't want to tell it like it is, but be like it is and be like you want me to be. I don't want to think other people need me, but I need them, or else I'm not complete. I don't want to tell other people how to do it, but I want to live for Christ myself. I don't always have to be right. Help me, Lord, to admit it when I'm wrong. I don't want to be a census taker, but an obstetrician. I love that. I don't want to be a census taker, but an obstetrician helping to birth other people into the kingdom of God. I want to be an involved person, not a professional friend. That's an interesting statement. I want to be an involved person, but not a professional friend. I don't want to be insensitive and to tell people I know how you feel. I want to be able to tell people that God knows how you feel. God knows how you feel. I don't want to scorn the cliches of others, but I want to mean that everything I say is true, including this prayer. That everything I say is true, including this prayer. What did Joseph Bailey discover? That he was serving a God who doesn't leave you alone. Now I want you to do some thinking right now, some freewheeling thinking, right in this message. Who are the people in your life that you have a sense that God wants you to share faith with? You know what? Every man, I think, in this room can instantly think of somebody. Every woman, every young person can think of a person right now in this moment that you feel God is prompting your heart. Who is it that God's prompting you to forgive? Who is it that God is prompting you to bless? Did you know you can choose to be a blessing and you can choose to be a curse? Do people choose to be a curse? You know them. You may have grown up with some who chose volitionally. They made the decision, I'm going to be a curse to my family. I'm going to be a curse to people that know me by the way I treat them, by the way I laugh at them, by the way I speak to them. God has a plan for your life. Get this, that didn't start yesterday. The God who says, I knew you before you even were born, is a God who's got a plan that goes back a little ways. That's my point. And I was really thinking about that phrase, I will put words in your mouth. You know what that means? God will prompt you to say things in a certain situation. Satan will prompt you to say things in a certain situation. He really will. We either choose, I'm going to take my promptings from the Holy One. I'm going to take my promptings from the Lord God Almighty as He speaks to my spirit about what to say to people. I have a feeling that people in this room today, you know what God wants you to say and to whom He wants you to say it. I have some background, family-wise, in the Catholic Church. My mother was Catholic, my grandparents were Catholic, and as an adult, my mom came out of the Catholic Church, to use that expression. But I have familiarity with going to Catholic weddings and Catholic funerals and Catholic background, that I have some knowledge of some of the things that are taught. One of the saints, called saints in the early church, about 300 AD, was a man by the name of Jerome, Saint Jerome. And I was reading just by accident about his life one day, and he was talking about wealthy women who came to Christ during his ministry, that were at the church that he served or wherever he was preaching. And he said wealthy women would come to church and come under the conviction of the Spirit of God. And he said they felt guilty about wearing gold to church and wearing finery and having their hair braided. That he said some of these women would go just the opposite direction. They would wear rags to worship services. And he said, the word he used, they would look sordid, S-O-R-D-I-D. And he said something interesting. Instead of attracting attention by wearing fine clothes and fine hair, they attracted attention by dressing down. And here's what he said he had to tell them. He said, I had to tell them, I had shared with them, it has nothing to do with your gold finery or your rags. It has to do with your heart. It has to do with your heart. What's my point? The God who knows you and who's not going to leave you alone is interested in your heart. He's interested in what you do out of your heart. You know, the Bible says that even your words come out of your heart. Did you ever notice that? Jesus says that. That it's from your heart the words come out that bless people or curse people. And Jesus would go on to say, it's by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. I don't know about you, but that's pretty frightening. God didn't make everything just to make it. There's a reason for everything. That's why I believe I have a purpose in life. I want to tell you today that God has a purpose for your life. God has a purpose for your life, and ultimately it's connected to Christ. And that's what most people don't know, that God created me for a purpose that's connected to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, Jesus, that whoever would believe in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. The God who will not leave you alone is the God who sent His Son to die for you. Remember that. That's the reason I know God's not going to give you the pot of coffee on the table and then leave you alone. He gave His Son to die for you. And Paul says in Ephesians that we were brought from death to life. He resurrected us from our transgressions. That's pretty involved. When you bring somebody back to life spiritually, you're involved in somebody's life.
Well, we conclude the first message from the new series from the book of Jeremiah tomorrow on CrossHope. Our website, of course, is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. God bless you. Thanks for listening to CrossHope.
How many of you remember seeing a movie years ago with Tom Hanks called Apollo 13? I still remember some of the real stuff that happened back then. I don't think I've seen the movie Apollo 13 with Tom Hanks other than clips that they show on TV from time to time. Here's what I remember about it. Any of you older folks remember a CBS newscaster by the name of Eric Severide? The name ring a bell with anyone? A lot of people wouldn't remember. And I don't expect you to. But I still remember at this point in my life what Eric Severide said when they weren't sure. Remember, they were on the dark side of the moon and they lost radio communication and there was the nervousness that maybe we're going to lose these guys. We're going to lose them. They're not coming back. And there was real fear both on the space capsule but also here on Earth in Houston. And I always remember, as long as I live, what Eric Severide said. I don't know if he had somebody tell him to say it or he said it on his own. He said, those astronauts are riding on the edge of eternity. Those astronauts are riding on the edge of eternity. And you know what I would say to that? So are you. So am I. We're all riding on the edge of eternity. You get on I-75 or Interstate 70 today in 2017, you're riding on the edge of eternity. You fly in an airplane, you're riding on the edge of eternity. Anything we do has risk. And we're all riding on the edge of eternity. So that behooves the question, is God involved in my life? Yes. Did He, figuratively speaking, put the pot of coffee on the table and say, I'm leaving you alone? No, He didn't. He said, I knew you. And I know you. I knew you and I know you. And I sent my Son to die for you, to raise you back from death to life. And you are my workmanship. You're my poem. As I mentioned earlier, the word literally, we get the word poem from the Greek word that's used to talk about workmanship. You're something created by God for a purpose, with design and with a purpose. Here's my last question to leave you with. If that's true, what have you allowed God to do in your life? What have you allowed God to do in your marriage? What have you allowed God to do in your family with your children? What have you allowed God to do with you at work, in your career, at school? Whatever the question may be, whatever the place may be, God has a plan for your life that didn't start yesterday. And it doesn't end tomorrow. It's for all eternity. before you were even formed, I knew you. The one who knows you wants you to come to know him. That's why he sent his son. For you to know God, the God of creation is knowable. The God of creation is knowable. Why? Because of his son. Anything you want to know about God in heaven, look at the son. How much does God love me? Look at Jesus. How much does God forgive? Look at Jesus. How much does God care? Look at Jesus. Anything you want to know about the Father, you find in the Son. That's the design. That's the plan. That's the program. Because Jesus would say this. This sends a chill up my spine. Every time I think of it, I read it. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Can you imagine that? If somebody got up on this pulpit area or stage and said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, somebody would say, that guy's crazy. And they'd be right. But Jesus said it with humility. And he said it with authority. And he said it with power. Do you know why? Because it's true. It's true. You've seen me. You've seen the Father. I and the Father are one. Pretty arrogant. Pretty presumptuous. Pretty crazy if it's not true. But it is true. Let's pray.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.